Lord, as we come to your word today, we're so thankful that we have it. We're so thankful that we can read it freely and speak about it and talk about it and learn and pray that you would apply this word to our lives today in a supernatural way. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. We are on the last verse of 1 Thessalonians 5. And you might be thinking, well, this should go quickly. I would say rather get comfortable. And my reason for that is we are looking at one of the most important principles in the Bible. Next to love, this is probably the most important principle that we have to understand about the way God loves us and treats us. And so I'd like to just put it up on the screen here. This is 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 28, this is how he ends his letter. Paul is writing to this church in the city of Thessalonica, which is in modern-day Greece. And let's read it together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Before we get to our big principle of the day, which is grace, I just want to look at the two titles of Jesus here. Jesus is his name. Christ isn't his last name. Jesus is his name. Christ is a title. Lord is a title. Lord means master. It's also another title for God. So that when we refer to Jesus as Lord, we're saying he is God in the flesh. He's also the ruler, the master over our lives, and we are his servants. Christ means Messiah. The Greek word is Christos. The Hebrew word is Messiah. It means anointed one, chosen one, the one. So, the point being, if you have found Jesus, you have found the one. Look no further. You have found the one that your soul has desired your entire life. He is the one. And Paul's prayer for this church and for our church is that his grace would be upon us. And this is what grace means, undeserved blessing. Blessing that comes to us not because we could have earned it. And this really is what separates Christianity from all other religions. You see other religions, and even segments of the Christian church still haven't completely grasped this understanding of what grace is. Everyone else is trying to earn their way into heaven. We're trying to get there through hard work. We're trying to get there through good deeds. We're trying to get there for reading books and going to studies and going to worship services and doing all these things and going through rituals to get to heaven. And we can't get there through these things. And not all these things are bad. You should read your Bible and come to worship services and do all these things. But you cannot earn your way into heaven through these things. You cannot be good enough. In Isaiah, it says, our righteous acts are like filthy rags before the Lord. In other words, the best that we can do still falls way short. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it says in Romans. So I've used this analogy before, I'll use it again, is that imagine that God has said in order to get into heaven, you have to earn it by jumping up and touching the peak of this ceiling here. I think we're over 20 feet here, okay? So let's give it a try. Everybody up? No, I'm just kidding. I'll just do it, okay? So I can give that a shot, okay? I can see how high I can get up. I can do better than that, okay? I'm going to try harder and do better, okay? I can get higher. All right, I was about 2 inches closer that time. Everything's coming untucked. I was not anticipating that. So let's say, though, I work out for 6 months. Let's say I go to the gym and I do squats and calf raises and leg lifts and jump rope and do whatever I can. Maybe I can get a little bit higher. 6 inches maybe? Okay. Let's bring LeBron James in, all right? He's 6'8 or whatever he is, and he can jump through the roof. And let's see how high he can get, probably a little higher than me. He's still not getting to the ceiling. That's the point. We can't get there on our own. We can't jump high enough. We need someone else to do it. And, you know, I know that there is in us as human beings, there's a desire to earn what you get. And that's not a bad desire. In the Bible, it says the worker is worth his wages. If you work, you should get paid for that. And that's what we want to teach our kids, right? I like it when my kids have to work hard to get good grades. I like it when coaches make my kids work hard to make a team. I think that's good because that teaches you about life, because your boss someday is not going to take it easy on you, right? You're going to have to earn that job and earn your pay, and that's the way the world is. But except when it comes to spiritual things, the problem is we can't get there on our own. If we could live a perfect, sinless life, then yes, maybe we could earn our way into heaven. But every human being since Adam and Eve till today has failed. And we even come into this world with this sinful nature that's in us. We come very self-centered into this world. And you know this if you've had little kids, and you know, you have to teach them a lot of different things, and you teach them, you know, what words to say. You teach them to say mama and dada and things like that. And I remember Bella's first word was mama. I'm not bitter, you know. It's 14 years later. It's not a big deal. But I used to pull her aside and say, Bella, say dada, dada, dada. So, and finally she did say it, which is a great day. But one word I never had to teach my kids to say and over again was mine. You know what? They learn that all by themselves. Mine, right? I will take this, right? That comes very naturally. Mine comes naturally, right? Share is what you got to teach them, right? That's what you got to teach your kids. You don't have to teach your kids the other thing. But we come into the world with this sinful nature. And so here's what has happened. Jesus has come, and he has jumped up, and he has touched the ceiling. He has lived a perfect, sinless life in our place. And if you believe in him, you will not perish but have eternal life. That is grace. You haven't earned it. He earned it for you. He picks you up and takes you to heaven. Isn't that a blessing to think about this time of year? And what I'd like to do today, this is the last message on 1 Thessalonians, but it's also the first message of our new sermon series for Christmas for the next 4 weeks. Because what I want to ask and answer over the next 4 weeks is, why did Jesus come? And what I want to do this Christmas season is I want to really celebrate what it's really about. Because I'll tell you, I have brain cramps around Christmas. I have difficulty because I see what the holidays become, and sometimes that annoys me. And then I watch Christmas movies that are not biblically accurate, and that annoys me. And then I read the Bible as we come into the Christmas season, and I think about the manger scene, and then I remember that, well, first of all, we don't know what day Jesus was born on. It could have been July 12th. We don't know that. Maybe that's a surprise to some of you. And the wise men didn't show up on the same night as the shepherds. They showed up at a house 2 years later. Read Matthew 1 and 2. I'm not lying. It's the truth. And so what I'd like to do in our house is take the wise men and put them, like, you know, on the other end of the house, because they were in Persia. And so, because they're going to be a while to get there. So do you see the craziness that goes on in here? And I'm sure the Lord is looking at me like, will you just chill out and receive this blessing of grace that I've given to the world? And really, that's what we should do. So I would like to make this the best Christmas season ever for me and for you, because I want us to focus on the right things. And it's really not about how many lights you have, what your tree looks like, how many presents are under the tree, or anything like that, because I think that's what people get down about, because they think, oh, that's what Christmas is about. No, this is not what Christmas is about. So here's our series for the rest of the month. The first one today is Jesus came to show us grace. And we're going to receive that grace. You want to celebrate Christmas? Receive God's grace. Thank you for the gift, Lord. Think about grace as a gift. That's what it is. And the rest of the month, here's the plan for the rest of the month, Lord willing. These are other reasons that Jesus came. And in John chapter 1, here's what it says. Verse 14, the Word, that's Jesus, that's God in the flesh, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There it is. And that word full means completeness and perfection. You can't have any more grace and truth than Jesus has in him. He is full of grace and truth. And, you know, I actually think about those two words when I'm coming into a conversation with somebody that might be tense or there might be a disagreement or a conflict. I think, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be full of grace and truth. I want to be bold enough and courageous enough to speak the truth to this person, but I want to be gracious and treat this person better than they deserve to be treated. That's what grace does. And so, but today the focus is on that grace. So how did Jesus show us grace? Jesus came to a dark world that didn't deserve him. We deserved separation from God and punishment. People were ignoring God. They were walking away from God. They were worshiping other gods. And instead of punishing, God sent Jesus to save us, to show us light and truth, and to draw us to him. So, you know, I have some analogies that I'm thinking about. Imagine that you take a test at school and you get a 50%, which is an F. And imagine that you have another kid in the class who got 100. Imagine that kid saying, all right, I'll give you 50 of my points. I'll take the F. You get the A. That's what Jesus did. He took the punishment for our failures, and we get the A. We get to heaven. Imagine on a sports team that a kid makes the sports team, whatever it is, and he gets excited, but his friend didn't make it. And imagine if he said, Coach, I want to give my spot to this guy. That would be grace. And I'm not sure that's ever happened, but that would be grace. Imagine a business owner saying to his employees, it looks like you guys need the money. I'm going to forfeit my salary and give it to you. I'm not sure if that's happened either, but that would be grace. But what Jesus has done goes far beyond that. Imagine that you are convicted of some crime and you are given the death penalty, and someone else shows up and says, I would like to take this penalty for this person. That's grace. And that's what Jesus did. And really, we can do nothing to earn it. We can't jump high enough or go to enough church services or take communion enough times or be baptized enough to earn our way into heaven. And all those things are good things. All we can do is receive it by faith. And that's what I want to show you in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It's not anything we could do. And a few verses later, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So the idea is this: I can't look around at my neighbors and say, well, you know, I'm holier than you, I'm better than you, you know, I have a more moral lifestyle than you. It's because of grace. It's just God's grace upon me, and all I can do is receive it by faith and say, Lord, I believe. I believe in you. I trust you. I believe Jesus lived a sinless life in my place. I believe he died for me and rose again. And that's how you receive God's gift. That's how you receive his astonishing grace. I don't know if there's a word strong enough. Astounding grace. Almost ridiculous grace. Because human beings don't treat each other as well as God has treated us. This amazing gift that's come down from heaven. And I know what happens sometimes with this concept of grace. Sometimes people take for granted or they take advantage of it. And they say, well, if it's just God's grace and if I can't earn it and all I got to do is believe, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm just going to go keep doing whatever I want. It doesn't matter if I sin or do anything bad. But what I would say to that person is, if you really have been made alive, if God's Holy Spirit has come and taken up residence in you and changed you, you are going to want to please him. You're going to have a desire to bring honor and glory to him. And when you do wrong things, you'll feel that. You'll be grieved by that. Lord, I don't want to displease you. I want to please you in everything that I do. You will want him to be pleased with you. But what also happens at times is some religions and some churches will try to manipulate people and say, well, you got to do, not only do you got to have faith, but you got to do all these things and go through all these hoops to be saved. But I think about what the man in Philippi, the city of Philippi, that he was the jailer at the prison that Paul and Silas were in. And he said to them, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." It's as simple as that. No hoops to jump through. Just confess your sins and just believe in Jesus, and you will be saved. And we have that grace. And so I think of that for all of us. We are a people who've received grace. And part of grace that's all wrapped up in that is forgiveness. Is that God has forgiven me for the sins that I have done, and He's forgiven you. And I'm not superior, I'm not better, I'm not entitled. I'm forgiven. And so here's what I'd like you to think about this season, this Christmas season. First of all, if you have never given your life to Jesus, if you've never confessed your sins and said, "Jesus, I believe in you," today is a great day to do that. Believe in Jesus today. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I'm a sinner, and I trust you for salvation. I believe Jesus died for me, and he rose again." And if you do that, and you give your life to Jesus, Scripture promises you will live forever with him in paradise. Please do that if you've not done it before. Receive God's gift to you this Christmas season, this December 2nd, that God has poured out his blessing on us at great sacrifice to himself. But if you've done that, maybe you just did that, and if you've done that, please come see me afterwards. Let's talk about that. But if you've done that previously, what do we do with that if you've received God's grace? Well, let's be appreciative of that grace. Let's thank God for that grace. But let's be ambassadors of that grace to the people around us. Let's reflect that grace. And let's treat people around us better than they deserve to be treated. Let's be kind to people in a season that's, ironically, people are not always kind during this season. You know, there's long lines and there's, you know, hard to find parking spaces. And by the way, I will tell you folks, if you live out here, I grew up 20 minutes south of Boston, right near the South Shore Plaza. You have no idea what long lines and traffic is out here. If you've lived out here, you have no idea what it's like. So be grateful for that. But people get testy, right? And let's be gracious. Let's treat people around us better than they deserve to be treated. And what happens this time of year is families sometimes get together. And you know, sometimes there's a family member that's kind of ornery. You know, maybe your Uncle Fred comes and he's like, "Oh man, Uncle Fred." And be kind. Maybe someone has an Uncle Fred. I apologize for that. But be kind. Be gracious to that person. Because Jesus was gracious to you. Jesus gave his life for you. We were walking away from the Lord and he pulled us back. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Shouldn't we pay that grace forward to everybody around us? The person who takes your parking space, be gracious. No sign language. None of that stuff. When you're waiting in the long line at the store and the cashier can't figure it out, you know, and you just, "Oh, this person's killing me." Maybe that person's having a rough day. Maybe you can speak life and truth and love and grace into that person's life. You know, so think about it this way. For every decoration you put up, for every set of lights that you have hung or will hang this season, for every one of those, let's do an act of grace to someone around us. Let's plead with God to show us how to be gracious. I think about King David in the Old Testament when his friend Jonathan died. He pleaded with the Lord. He said, "Lord, is there anyone from Jonathan's house to whom I can show mercy?" And it turned out to be Jonathan's grandson who had been crippled in his legs and he couldn't walk. And that young man sat in the King David's palace for the rest of his life and ate at his table because David cried out to God, "Who can I show mercy to?" Let's pray that prayer this Christmas season. You want to celebrate Christmas? You don't need to put up lights. You can if you want, but here's how you celebrate Christmas. Treat people around you with grace. Show them what Jesus is all about, not only with your words, but with your actions. Jesus has treated us with grace. Let's treat others with grace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your astonishing grace today. I thank you for treating us better than our words and actions and thoughts deserve. And Lord, we pray that we would be your representatives, to this town, this community, the people that we work with and our family members. We pray, Lord, that we would reflect your grace to everybody around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask the elders to come forward as we prepare for communion.